Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Today, we've got quite a big program. We have a conversation, or rather an interview, with Jean Manning, who has written a book with Susan Manowich. It's called Hidden Energy, Tesla-Inspired Inventors and a Mindful Path to Energy Abundance. And she was interviewed for Share International magazine, the April 2021 issue, by Felicity Elliott. Now, I've had to edit this interview. It's 4 pages long, very, very heavily for radio. So it may sound a little disjointed, but if you find anything in it that you relate to, please go to the interview. Well worth a read. She begins, "I tried to keep a skeptical attitude when 40 years ago I met the first inventor who was investigating the universe's hidden energy or life force. But I found myself getting enthusiastic because I saw that all the inventors who I was meeting were really onto something. My life up to then seemed to lead to this development and steered me in that direction. I happen to be in the right place at the right time quite often to meet people. The first inventor I met was a kind of teacher who inspired me about the possibilities of tapping into a form of energy that's not recognized by today's textbooks. Anyone who has immersed themselves in nature may have sensed this influence on life. And you find among the inventor community, they are not receiving their information in ways which are covered in the textbooks. They can be receiving their information through dreams, perhaps, through waking dreams even, when something suddenly gives them an aha moment. It can't be explained by following one logical thing after another. Rather, it's a leap to a new level of understanding or awareness. Perhaps we're more aware of guidance because more people are having time alone at present. Time spent alone to date has been sadly lacking. I've always been interested in ecology and cleaning up the environment, but it wasn't just these that drew me to this idea. The spiritual aspect has caught my interest as well. The first inventor was looking for a way to describe the background energy of the universe, which seemed to be coming into his machine and allowing it to put out more power than what he had put in. He approached philosophical groups to see if they had the answers, and an esoteric group did talk about prana, the life force that courses through the universe, not just through our bodies. We as a society are still basically building electrical motors and generators in old ways, using old models. This has served vested interests because people don't have energy freedom. You have to live in fear that you may not have enough money to pay the energy bills. So the title of this book can have several meanings. It can be a reference to background energy of the universe, which the ancients called ether. But it can also refer to the hidden energy coursing through our bodies. It relates to how we could be working with that life force in our healthcare, for instance. Hidden energy relates to the energy of synergy as well, about people working together and realizing that they're interconnected. And it definitely relates to the hidden power that lies in each of us, which is beyond what is recognized by the materialistic worldview. In my life, and I've had it proven to me over and over, we are really much more powerful as beings than what we're told. And the power of our thoughts is enormous. So these are the sorts of things that are possible for humanity. Maybe we're not tapping into this energy yet because of a form of scarcity thinking. I'd just like to come back for a while to social injustices. A lot of them come on a physical level from the energy technologies that we've been conditioned into. The whole big belief in scarcity, that there's not enough to go around, and that because too many people are concluding that social injustice is inevitable, otherwise we're going to have a lower standard of life, because we're going to be taking care of people over there who we don't know, who don't have enough. And this is not the reality. Maybe we're not tapping into this hidden life force because of this idea, this scarcity thinking, which creates antagonisms to the other, to the other people. We see the other as a threat to our lives, when in reality there is enough for everybody if we responsibly use what the world has to offer and what the universe has to offer in terms of energy abundance. And the paradox is that while we have this idea of scarcity and therefore competition, greed and separation, it's built into the system, there is this inbuilt bizarre theory, this myth of growth, constant economic growth in a finite system. We think this is possible, yet it is clearly quite impossible and illogical. And now the idea is growing that we must go to some other planet and exploit its resources. What we talk about is the exact opposite, that we have to move into a cleaner, lighter, less polluting form of generating energy. A shift into a different way of thinking, not just a different technology. We have to be concerned about the folly of producing more and more products. It's not an abundance in the sense of being in harmony with nature and the universe to have simply more products and more choice. The belief that the gross national product or gross domestic product must continually grow is foolish. It's folly. It results in an unwise use of resources and technology, and consumer goods are literally littering the planet, and especially with plastics. We must shift our thinking to realizing that we can have abundance, but we also have to use it responsibly. What we're doing to the planet, it breaks my heart. And I place some of the blame at least on Milton Friedman, the economist who justified corporations saying that the most important priority was the bottom line for their shareholders. And scientists these days are not as independent as they once were. They can't dedicate themselves to pure knowledge because the corporations which are funding the universities have a certain direction, a certain agenda that they want to see developed. If we had a unified intention to develop technologies in harmony with nature, including healthcare, and if there weren't this ignorance about the life force, people's immune systems would be a lot stronger. If we hadn't suffered the cutting down of forests and the releasing of all these diseases from areas which shouldn't have definitely been left untouched, we might not have had this pandemic. I have seen the results of the health science practitioners who are working with the life force instead of against it. It's helped my own personal health. The new ways in which inventors are generating energy. Well, the first inventor I met used magnetism to create motion, turning a shaft to generate electricity. Others are working on solid-state devices. A solid-state circuit can be built in such a way that it's working with the principles of energy resonance. It's been proven by some of the researchers that they are getting more electrical output than what they are putting in. One of them, the late Floyd Sweet, was getting an amazing amount of energy out compared to the output. Even by the most cautious and conservative report by credible witnesses, a tiny electrical signal triggered an electrical output at least four times as powerful. But Sweet claimed to have measured outputs which were up to a million times more energy. Hidden Energy chronicles more recent solid-state experiments, such as the Manilis device, which charges the batteries of an electric car. And there are other varieties of the energy technology, plasma reactions, and working with water in ways where it isn't standard electrolysis, but rather working in ways that a thundercloud works, with microscopic implosions and the etheric energy rushing in at those points. It is technical, but the basic problem the inventors run up against is everybody knows you can't have a free lunch, and this idea is really drilled into the public, into everyone. However, the inventors and scientists who are working on theories to understand what it is the inventors are doing are dealing with open systems as opposed to closed systems, which say you can't have more output than input. But solar power operates in an open system. You don't put the photovoltaics in a box and isolate it from the environment. It's the environment that the input comes from, that is, the sun's rays. And wind power too operates in an open system where there's energy coming in from the environment. Solar and wind are unreliable in contrast to the converters of etheric energy, which don't need sunlight or wind, and they work day and night. With the smaller new energy generators, we don't have to mine all these metals that it takes to create giant windmills, for instance. But there's so much ignorance being exhibited in today's choices, whether it is in healthcare or energy science. The worst, in my opinion, is the big push now towards more nuclear power. And you find it even in the environmental community, people who want answers to the problems which are harming our environment. They see nuclear fission as the answer. It is not. It is not the answer, and it is so irresponsible to future generations. Even if they use the small modular nuclear reactors, which are the big buzzword right now, we're still dealing with nuclear radioactive material. It is not the legacy to leave our children and our grandchildren. The old ways of creating energy, the old technologies, are based on violent or aggressive approaches, the splitting of the atom. What we're looking at, and all of the pioneering now these scientists are investigating, is a less aggressive way of approaching the generation of energy. Even the fusion method, which is being considered by big science currently, is harmful. It is a violent method. Particle accelerators use violence. The problem is that big science enjoys all the money. And small-scale reactions found in the new inventions, which are more likely to be in harmony with the way nature works, miss out. When I was made aware of the possibility that our nuclear technologies are affecting the life force in the atmosphere, it hit me like a blow to the stomach. And I intuitively knew that there was something, that the harmful effect was real and is part of what's affecting even our weather. Of course, it's not the whole picture, but it is a contributing factor, and it is an aspect of our unstable weather patterns. An excess of the radioactive form of energy is being emitted even by supposedly safe nuclear reactors, those without having had an accident. It sickens the life force in the atmosphere. It's a huge educational challenge to bring widespread awareness. We need to reach decision makers in all aspects, in all areas, economists, educators, regional and national planners, so that they have the vision instead of allowing the corporations to take over and impose their agenda. Corporate lobbyists influence the laws and regulations in their own favour. As a result, there's no funding for unconventional research. Even countries who are announcing commitments to various energy research alternatives, there's no place for unconventional research and development in their proposals. It's just business as usual. About a century and a half ago, it used to be for people who aspired to be scientists that the apex of knowledge was to be a natural philosopher, which means independent thinking and observation of how things work in nature. And that's how advances were made around the time of Nikola Tesla. Scientists were people who tuned into the natural world and its workings, who studied nature and observed the vortexian movements of water and air. There's much to be learned, but what emerging scientists are discovering is what's going on in the cosmos and seeing more of this Vortexian movement. Independent researchers who are doing things like winding electrical coils in such a way that one force doesn't oppose the other. That's natural. It's not helpful to be opposing when one electrical current goes head-on against the other. And then the dealings with water. What enhances the vitality of water? These are the kind of questions that drive new energy research. It's part of an interconnectedness of all life. And the new knowledge is interconnected. Pioneers that are working with these new energies are suddenly getting an insight that what they're working with could be used in healthcare and working with our bodies. For instance, with our chakras. What excites me is the vision of what could be when we're not afraid of scarcity or afraid of each other because somebody might take a resource away from our country. Humankind could pool its knowledge and pool its materials. And there's already been an indication that the transmutation of some elements is happening in some of these devices. So what could we build if we had strong but translucent, beautiful material to work with? Through will require a critical mass of humankind waking up, and each of us, any individual, can help make it happen by envisioning what we want instead of creating a dystopia. Scientists like Dr. William Tiller have proven how powerful and creative our thoughts are. The call to action in hidden energy is to be the consciousness, to be the shift, as well as to support the clean energy transition. The book ends with, as a first step, just imagine, in detail and with heartfelt gratitude, living in a harmonious civilization on a regenerated earth. Now, you can find out more about Susan Manowich and Jean Manning's book, Hidden Energy, Tesla-Inspired Inventors and a Mindful Path to Energy Abundance, at jeanmanning.com. I'd like to remind Share International readers, well, probably Share International readers will need no reminding, that the Masters of Wisdom are quite clear about nuclear fission energy. As it is now based, it is a disaster for the planet, for the human frame and our immune system. And the effects of nuclear radiation on the etheric physical body, which are not yet picked up by medical science, are showing themselves in diseases of the immune system and the nervous system. For instance, an increase in people suffering from Alzheimer's disease at a much earlier age. And that's all we have time for this week. I hope you enjoyed that. It is well worth checking out the entire interview. It really is. So go well and be good to yourselves and each other.